We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
Tell your smart speaker to play 93.7 WEEI.
This is Gresh and Keefe
on WEEI.
Tatum. Tatum. Start. Pass it on. What? Tatum. Pulls up. Oh, my gosh. Tatum. Into the paint. To the basket. Two to five. Tatum, a pull-up three. Yes. Tatum. Tatum for two. He was going to get that no matter what. How's it going to defend? Ooh. Tatum steals the pass. Tatum now is going to take it right to who's ever there, and he gets two.
What a finish.
Back outside. Tatum's going to take a three. Oh. Back to Tatum. Plenty of time. Hits another one.
What are we witnessing here?
It is crazy good.
I wish it was Christmas today.
The Celtics are hot. The Bruins are playing great. How will the Patriots play tonight against the Buffalo? Well, we'll find out starting at 8:15. The lunchtime hour of Gresh and Keefe has begun. Make sure you've downloaded the Odyssey app to take us wherever you go and listen anytime, anywhere on the Odyssey app. And you go, Jason Tatum, 49 points last night, more than 10 rebounds, hit eight threes. That puts him in very elite company in terms of NBA history. And Keith, you and I have talked about, I think people in Boston and in New England, they appreciate Jason Tatum. It's nights like last night that get him on the MVP radar for those lazy voters who don't really invest as much as they should and watch the games.
Yeah, I mean, he is squarely on the radar for everybody because Giannis, you know, he's already won it and he's won the title, and you know, the Bucks are a great team, but the Celtics are right there. Celtics are at the top, and Tatum is, you remember a couple of years ago, there was even a little bit of a debate, like Tatum or Brown, like who do you actually like better?
And oh, yeah.
Brown's played well, and yet Tatum has completely surpassed that. And I think he admittedly didn't have a great NBA Finals, talking about Tatum,
mm-hmm.
but these guys, the whole team really has followed that up, and they've been just on a mission all year. And Tatum very clearly leading the way. All the stats back it up, and then even just watching the games, like, great two-way player. I feel like he's had even more, like, defensive highlights this year than maybe the previous 5 years combined. Like, he's just so locked in right now, and if he doesn't win MVP, like, he's still going to get a bunch of votes. He's going to be a no-brainer all-NBA first-team guy. Like, he's just, he's cemented himself at the top tier. Like,
no doubt.
Remember before there was the, is he top 10? Is he top 5? And then you were kind of a homer to put him in the top 5 for a little bit because you were leaving out, like, Curry, or you were leaving out some really good players to put him in the top 5. But he's in everybody's top 5 now. Like, he has to be, or you're just, you know, not paying attention.
And some of those guys that were in the top 5 have aged out a little bit.
Like, yeah, maybe you had LeBron in your top 5. Like, well, that's not the case now.
Damian Lillard's still a great player.
Yeah, he's not
but
top 5.
At this point, he's probably, right. Yeah, and that's where you use the age against you. So Jason Tatum, in terms of players with 45 or more points, 10 or more rebounds, 8 or more three-pointers made in a regular season game, Jason Tatum is the only guy who has done it twice. Did it once on January 23rd, 2022 against Washington, and of course did it last night. But the thing that really stands out is in those games where guys have just blown doors, Steph Curry, Damian Lillard, Paul George, James Harden, Kobe Bryant, Ray Allen, none of them had better than a plus 14 plus minus. And one guy, Steph Curry, was a minus 2. Even though he scored 51 points. Jason Tatum against Washington early in the year, plus 31. Last night, Jason Tatum was plus 29. So backing up your defensive in terms of the big plays for Tatum, even on nights where he scores a bunch of points, his plus minus is still elite level.
His plus minus has been off the charts this year, and the team, you know, best record in basketball.
Off the charts.
They are now 11-1 at home. The one loss being in overtime. Like, we've been looking at those Bruins and Celtics home numbers, which are just kind of silly. But yeah, there's really not a whole lot you can quibble with outside of maybe they got to lock it up a little bit more defensively. Maybe they've taken a slight step back from last year defensively, but they've also taken a step forward offensively. Like, they're a better offensive group than they were before. Part of that is just Tatum and Brown, I think, playing better, but also having a guy like Malcolm Brogdon who can come in off the bench that you didn't have that before.
And Marcus Smart is comfortable in his role.
He's having a great point guard year, right? Yep. He's got the assists are going up. And so
you nailed it the other day when you said they played Marcus out of position for so long.
He always should have been a point guard.
That has kind of created the narrative that people still will want to hang on to, mm-hmm. but now he's playing in the right spot.
Yeah, no, he is. And so think about how, like, this season could have gone sideways from the start with the whole Udoka thing, mm-hmm. and, like, how is the team going to respond? Because I'll tell you, going back to Media Day and some of the comments that they had, you're like, yeah, we found out about it the same way you guys did. We're like, what the hell? Like, it just seemed like there was a lack of communication over there, and you're like, is this going to affect them on the court? And thankfully it hasn't. Like, that hasn't been a factor at all. We don't even talk about it. The only time we talked about Udoka was when the Nets maybe almost kind of were thinking of hiring him. Everything else has been on the court. For some reason, the Cavs and the Bulls give them problems, but every other team they've been able to just kind of lay waste to.
You know, the Cavs have played great this year, and they continue their hot run. Donovan Mitchell.
He's great.
Well, Donovan Mitchell's one of those guys where I think for the NBA fan that really kind of paid attention, you knew how good Donovan Mitchell was, and it feels like he's even kind of kicked it up another level, a la Tatum. Yeah. Since he's gone to Cleveland.
And, like, not that Cleveland's this big market or anything, but when you play in Utah, even when you're on a decent enough team, you get lost in the shuffle. Like, unless you're staying up for the second game in TNT or whatever, like, you don't see them a ton. So, at least playing more of these East Coast games, more so on the radar.
And, you know, Cleveland's one of those teams in the East that are to be reckoned with. During the off-air show, we saw on Twitter that Chris Middleton is returning to the Bucks. The Bucks are 15-5 without him.
Right.
So they're like, what, second in the Eastern Conference, I do believe?
Yeah, they have the second best record in the NBA.
So now they're going to get the guy back that is maybe the equalizer. And I know that the Milwaukee Bucks gave the Celtics all they could handle last year in the playoffs.
Yeah.
But they didn't have Middleton, and you and I were all over that this was the time to capitalize. Now Middleton's back from the wrist injury, and it'll be interesting to see sort of what Milwaukee kind of, you know, do they just pick up where they left off with Middleton? Do they have to go through an adjustment period, and how much better does this make them?
I think a lot better. Like, I he's their second-best player, and so any team is adding their second best player back, like, they should be a whole lot better. Like, he's an all-star type of guy. I mean, I don't think he's underrated anymore, because you can only be the underrated star for so long until, like, everybody's on it. So, like, he's not underrated anymore, but he's still really good, makes them better. Like, Drew Holiday, we've seen him in the past. Like, there are times where he looks unstoppable. There are other times where he's not as good. So if you can add another reliable, consistent player. And I think Celtics and Bucks, based on the way how old their star players are, like, who's under contract, like, there's a chance they play each other in the playoffs six straight years or whatever. Like, they played last year. They even played, what was it, a couple years before. Like, there's been a few of these Tatum-Giannis matchups with the supporting cast. And even though Cleveland's playing well and, you know, Philly's got Embiid, these two are so far above everybody else that it'd be disappointing if they didn't meet in the playoffs.
Yeah, even if it's in the second round, you know, you'll take it. And they're going to get in each other's way over the next half decade or so. And Jason Tatum is trying to do what Giannis has done, which is to win it all and also win an MVP. And after the game last night, Malcolm Brogdon talked about Jason Tatum relative to the MVP race.
It's incredible, man. You know, we gotten to play him a good amount in my career, and he's taken a giant step every year. To play the way he did last year, to be in the MVP race at times last year, and then to take the jump he's taken this year has been pretty incredible to watch. Undoubtedly, he should be leading the MVP race right now. So, yeah, I mean, he's playing at a superstar level.
Now, I know
I have no problem with that. Like, he should be leading right
now. Well, the degenerati in the betting world, Tatum is the leader right now. Now, there is a lot of recency bias when it comes to MVP odds. You know, guy goes on a heater, has a good week, big game, something like that. You get a bet in there, kind of changes it because it's a futures bet. But right now, Tatum is one of the top two at most books.
Yeah.
And
that's up,
he
too,
should
right?
be.
Did he start the year like fifth or so?
I think it was fifth or fourth, yeah.
So he's moved up a little bit, as he should. But again, the team, that's going to, like, even for some of the writers that don't watch every single game, they're like, it's an easy tiebreaker. Like, all right, which team has the best record? And is there one guy kind of not solely responsible, but is there one guy that is kind of really leading the way? Then he's going to get votes. And that's what Tatum's doing.
And I think that for Luka,
yeah,
they got to start winning more.
It's one of those things with him. Like, he has zero supporting cast, so he doesn't have to have the best record. But if he's squarely in the playoffs, then that'll help him.
People will give him enough credit.
Like, he doesn't have a Jaylen Brown or even a Marcus Smart or even a Malcolm Brogdon on his team.
Whereas Denver, with Jokic,
yeah,
it's almost like you take Jokic for granted.
Yeah.
Because it's like, oh, here's this big guy who only drops, you know, 24 a game and a bunch of assists.
Basically,
and,
like, a triple-double.
Yeah, it's kind of insane. And I do think, and then we've seen it happen in years past where it's like, okay, they're so good. It's almost like that's the expectation. Feels like Tatum has a couple-year window here to really take advantage of him kind of breaking through the glass ceiling a little bit, for MVP.
Did you see Kendrick Perkins' top five MVP candidates?
I did not.
All right. So he had a little – somebody made him a little graphic and everything, unless he made the graphic. Here are his top five.
If he did, it's impressive.
Let me know if somebody's missing.
I'm going to bet he didn't.
Okay.
Let me know if somebody's missing from Kendrick Perkins' top five MVP candidates.
All right.
I'll go one through five.
All right.
Jason Tatum.
Okay.
Giannis Antetokounmpo. Mm-hmm. Devin Booker. Ja Morant. Tyrese Halliburton.
LeBron James.
No. Well, he's missing, but no.
No Luka.
No Luka Doncic.
No Embiid.
No Embiid.
No Jokic.
No Jokic. I mean, Luka. How do you not have Luka in your top
five? These NBA
three?
Top fives get so out of hand. It's like you with the wide receivers.
I do have
it's
a
like
lot of
you
guys
can list nine dudes, but it's like you only get five. That's why it's a top five.
Actually, I should tweet out my top wide receivers and have like 20 of them in there.
Your top five top wide 10. Receivers in no specific order and then
yep.
have 20 names.
And then just there yeah, it is. It's like a Dead Sea scroll.
Yeah, right.
You just roll it out.
It's the Chris Jericho 1,004 holds.
Exactly yeah. right. Hey. But look, Tatum is playing great. He's been fantastic this year. By the way, Jaylen Brown chipped in with 26.
He's had a good year, too.
Yeah, Brogdon sure. with 22, I think it was last night. 21 for Malcolm Brogdon.
Yeah.
And that really is the key. I just feel it, that you and I are going to be sitting here during this NBA season lauding Brad Stevens for the job that he has done in getting Malcolm Brogdon. He's going to be such a big piece off the bench.
And they gave up nothing for him.
Nothing for him.
Yeah.
Well, Aaron Nesmith.
Right. Let's check in on Aaron Nesmith, shall we?
There you go. You do that, and I'll tell everybody that you can play WEEI on your smart speaker. Just ask your smart speaker to play 93.7 WEEI. Give us a follow on Twitter and Instagram, at Gresh Keefe.
He is averaging 7.6 points per game. He's playing 22 minutes a night for the Pacers.
So
shooting 34% from three.
So he's not doing much.
He is not.
Well, it's funny. No. We had a texter who was like,
playing more, but
remember when the geniuses are wondering when all of Danny's draft picks would pay off? He's such an idiot to hoard them for players like Tatum, Brown, Smart, Williams, Grant Williams, and Pritchard. And then it was, oh, this guy Aaron Nesmith can shoot.
Yeah.
No. Shooting his way out of the league.
Best shooter in the draft is what we were told.
Well, bad draft.
But hey, you got Malcolm Brogdon for him, so it's worked out.
Al Horford, a contract extension, 2 years, $20 million.
Good.
Brad Stevens, another hit.
Yeah, again, $10 million in the NBA, not really a ton. You know, it's going to make him, you know, look this up, but I mean, it's less than Tatum, it's less than Brown, it's less than Smart, it's less than Derek White, less than Brogdon, less than Time Lord. Like,
is he going to no trade with that, you think?
I mean, probably. I mean, I don't think
because that salary makes him tradable.
Yeah. And for a guy that's as old as he is, he's still pretty damn useful.
Yeah.
Like, he doesn't rely on over the top speed and athleticism for his game anyway. So, yeah, he's a pretty useful guy. And because you have so many young guys on the team, it's good to sprinkle in a couple of veterans. So, yeah, good signing. Keep him around. And I'm sure he's happy to do it, too. I don't think he wants to go explore the Oklahoma cities and even the Phillies. Like, when he left Boston, it was pretty miserable for him. And then now it seems like, you know, I don't think he regrets it because he made a ton of money on that contract, but that was a couple of wasted years for him.
Does he become our Udonis Haslem at some point?
I mean, maybe. I feel like he's going to play more. Like, Haslam's legit like an assistant coach. Like,
pretty much.
I think Horford's going to play more than Haslem is.
But, I mean, after this deal, do you think it becomes year to year with Al Horford?
We'll see.
We'll
see if he can run up and down the court still.
There is that. Yeah. Well, and compared to the money that Haslem has made, Al Horford's made way more, so he might be like, you know what, I'm just going to go hang out. What do you make of the Field Yates report on the restructuring of Matt Judon's contract, creating a little more than $2.2 million in cap space this year? We've got, what, 6 games left in the season?
Yeah, I'm always curious with, because I think you can sign anybody at any time. You just have to do moves like this. But it's like, all right, if you're going to do this, it's for what? Like,
right.
That's sort of my question. Like, what are you planning on doing? Like, they signed Tavai to an extension. Like, now they're tweaking Judon's numbers. I'm like, all right, so what's the plan with this?
See, that's, I wonder if it's more of the Jelani Tavai type guys. You know, people you want to keep around that are much more of the low end of the roster. Let's bury it in 2022 to where you can not eat into your cap space next year, where the Patriots, at least given the way it's structured right now, the Patriots are to be either third or fourth in cap space next year to go shopping. But we understand that, you know, those numbers are a sliding scale. It all depends on the loony in Canada, Keith.
That's true. That's a good point.
Still waiting on that for the Pastrnak signing as well.
Yes, we are.
Be able to get that done.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's going to go. Alvarez ties the game.
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first 3 orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Now, more of Gresh and Keefe
on WEEI and streaming everywhere on the Odyssey app.
Most of anyone pass along those lines, so deck those halls, trim those trees, raise up cups of Christmas cheer. I just need to catch my breath.
Where's the Barbara Bell cover of this?
Oh, she'd be good at this one.
Has she updated the Christmas album? Do we have any Christmas music from Barbara Bell?
I wouldn't be 100% confident that Barbara Bell's still with us.
I was in the top 1% of Barbara Bell listeners on my Spotify Wrapped yesterday, by the way.
Oh, really?
There you go.
Yeah.
Good get.
What kind of group does that look like? Can you click on, like, users' profiles and sort
top
of see?
Top 1%. I think there's just two of us.
Yeah. Oh, so, okay.
Yeah.
Like, I'm also bottom 1%.
Well, nevertheless,
either way,
you keep that to yourself.
I would argue, though, that is the most underrated Christmas song right there.
Oh, that one right there,
yeah,
really?
By the Waitresses. Yeah.
By the Waitresses.
Yeah, they got a group together.
Shime's ears just perked up if he's listening. Oh, huh? Waitresses?
What?
Huh? He's bringing me a meatloaf. Mm-hmm. This is a pretty good tune, I gotta say.
It's good. It's catchy.
Doesn't get a ton of airplay,
no,
though.
No, it doesn't.
I wonder how they figure out the airplay for Christmas music. Like, is it beholden to the normal music formula?
Well, some machine, probably.
Or is it just, hey, we're going to play them all and just here it is?
Is that one of our program directors upstairs down?
No, they clearly don't just play them all.
Sal Haney could do a hit with us.
Oh, yeah. Sal Haney could explain it.
It's very complicated. I remember talking to somebody a while ago that I always assumed that the like music DJs picked the songs.
Oh God, no!
Not even close.
Maybe
not
like
even
back in the day, and that like blew my mind. Stations,
I think I was at like an internship, and I was like, "So do you pick the songs?" The guy was like, "What?" He's like, "No." He's like, "We're told exactly what to play."
I was gonna say,
and when to play it. I was like, "What?"
I wonder if we just unveiled a state secret that we shouldn't have. Yeah.
I think
people.
I think that's well known.
I think it's well known.
When were you doing that internship? Like 18 years ago?
That was a long time ago. Yeah.
So like. Like, maybe then, maybe there was still, like, a pall of mystery around that. But now so. It's, yeah. I think the cat's out of the bag on that.
Yeah, I'm with you.
I used to get angry emails at my college station because I played too much Coldplay. Fun fact.
I could imagine.
I mean,
I was told that that's not what the station was for.
So they're basically saying it's not your iPod. Right.
Yeah.
No. It was supposed to be for like underground artists and everything. That was the whole. You know, I told you the story of how they.
Here's another one from Coldplay. Like, oh, for God's sake, sir!
I wasn't playing the hits, but they kicked all the olds out of the station over there because it was a polka station, and then
polka station.
It was a polka station, but it was also the student radio station, and then they kicked all the old people out.
Cross section there.
Yeah. Ooh, can I request the Haze Boys? Yeah. I don't want her. You can have her. She's too fat for me. Is that a Christmas song?
We played it last year. I think we had. Yeah, we'll have Jack Edwards introduce it too.
Yeah, that's a rough spot.
But again, it's polka. It's a part of the tradition.
It's polka.
That's really what it's rooted in. It's not
is that
like
a Christmas song.
I don't know.
No.
Well, we
no.
played that song on this show, and it definitely wasn't during Christmas.
There was
it was like
kind
over
of
the
polka
summer.
Tie-in. Was it when they were playing Milwaukee and we were making polka jokes there?
Maybe.
Big polka town. I don't know.
Not sure exactly.
Anyways.
Yeah.
Yeah.
617-779.
Yeah, get in here.
I don't know where people are at on this game, but this is something interesting.
I'll tell you where I'm at in this game.
Well,
I don't know why the line has shifted so much. I think the Bills are way better than the Patriots, and yet it's gone from 5.5 to 3.5. And maybe it's just a home dog in the division type of thing. But like, what has happened over the last few weeks, games, whatever, that you think, oh yeah, the Patriots are right there with Buffalo?
Better pass rush. Better behind the pass rush, at least some you could talk yourself into that
yeah.
There were certain signings for this moment. And I think the spot is a part of it as well. Meaning, like the pass rush, bad week last week.
Right.
Bills O-line is the weakness. You look at everything on their offense. That's where they can attack. That's where the Patriots have been pretty good. And it's about kind of keeping Josh Allen hemmed up. Now, maybe there's a little bit of betting recency bias in terms of the offensive performance from last week. But this isn't lining up to be the, like, Bills blowout. Given the way they both are playing, this doesn't line up towards the, oh, it's just going to be a blowout because of what happened last year or whatever is in the mind of people.
See, I think it's got a better chance of that
betting,
than not.
The betting people
man. Yeah.
Those sharps know.
The Patriots can't control good quarterbacks. Like, they have feasted on bad quarterbacks, bad offenses, maybe sprinkling some bad coaching, whatever it is. They've taken those teams and they have suffocated them. Whereas the teams with either average or above average quarterbacks have had great games against them. And I feel like Josh Allen's actually the best of the bunch because Aaron Rodgers isn't having a typical Aaron Rodgers year. The best quarterback they've faced so far will be tonight against Josh Allen. So, you know, Steph Diggs is having a monster year. We've seen other guys on that team have big games, whether it be Isaiah McKenzie, Gabe Davis has gotten in the end zone, Dawson Knox has gotten in the end zone against this team, Devin Singletary had a big playoff
game. But it's almost like you're viewing it as the Patriots have done nothing to help that.
Yeah, you're right.
Well, but they
yeah, correct.
No, but they've added safeties, obviously.
But this year, like Kirk Cousins got them in. Kirk Cousins sucks in primetime.
Like
three tugs.
Like they're better at corner this year than they were last year.
Well, Justin Jefferson and Adam Thielen, like those guys were fine.
Well, again, I get it, and again, Justin Jefferson is a high end guy. He hurt him, but he didn't kill them. Yeah. But I think you're like Jones.
You don't think Jefferson killed
him? No, but we went through who they started last year in the playoff game, and it was Jackson, and then what, Miles Bryan and Jabron Jones or whatever. Mm-hmm. But now you got John Jones, Mills, and even Jack Jones. That even just those guys, in theory, are better than what you had on the field last year.
Right.
And again, for the Patriots, it was a lot of rush where you had no one behind them. Last year is when Hightower and Van Noy got exposed. Now, listen, I might be dead wrong, but the Jimmys and the Joes and the way this team is constructed is different. And the one thing the Bills don't do is have a natural running game outside of Josh Allen. And you could argue that maybe a little bit of the Patriots' weakness is where they're at on the second level in stopping the run. So you're going to have Duggar play up. You need one of your other linebackers to jump in. But it feels like this year they're better equipped to deal with the speed of the Bills. On that alone.
Well, I think where we differ, and we've differed all year, is I get the sense you think the Patriots are good, and I don't.
Well, look at the league.
No, but just the Patriots. Look at the Patriots.
I'm saying the Patriots are by league average this year, or by the way the league is, they're closer. They're in the good category.
They're not good
based on our expectations.
No, they're not good, period. Like, right. I think they're average. That's below good is average. They are average.
Well, there's a lot of that in the league this year. That's why.
No, if you want to say the league overall sucks, that's fine. I'm okay with that. But I'm just saying they are average. They are outside of the playoffs, right? They are the 8th seed in the AFC. There's 16 teams in the AFC.
It's either 7 or 8, whatever it is.
I think they're out on the outside.
Yeah, on the outside.
Right? So that's incredibly average. And I just think they've sort of been exposed to where we thought the defense was the true strength of the team, and it's still better than the offense. But I think against certain matchups, it's not even that big advantage that we were hoping that it would be. Now, it's a big night for Judon. It's a big night for these guys. If they show
up. And Stevenson.
Well, I'm saying defensively.
If
they can kind of, you know,
D-line needs to ball out tonight.
Yes. If they can get after Josh Allen and make him look bad or force some turnovers, because he's given other teams turnovers. So you need to
Patriots have dropped a couple in those two games where they dominated. The two hit him in the hands.
And like Steph Diggs. Like usually, again, we talk about Bill Belichick takes the one guy out. If there's only one guy, this is an example of a team that, as far as outside of the quarterback, has one guy. If they can limit him, then all right, maybe you start to turn people's or change people's minds a little bit.
See, I think Diggs could have 7 for 100 and a score, and the Patriots still win. They have no run game.
Yeah, I mean, like you said, Allen is a bit of their run game.
Right.
And then Singletary, who smoked him in the playoffs. But again, I know that the team is a little bit different. But he had, 80 and 2 touchdowns, I think, in that game.
Because I understand there's carryover. Oh, God, yeah.
Really?
Yes, of course.
It's kind of more of an anomaly that you don't, I guess. But they haven't in 2 games.
You're so entrenched on the last 2 meetings dictate what's happening tonight.
I think the last 2 meetings are relevant, yeah.
Relevant is one thing,
but
you seem to be of the, like you just asked, are they going to make them punt? Like, come on, is the defense that? That's like acknowledging that the defense hasn't gotten a little bit better.
The defense might be a little bit better, but I don't know how much better.
That they're just going to give up 50 tonight.
No, who said that?
No, but I'm saying if they don't punt, what'd they hang up last year? 40, whatever it was?
47, I believe. Yeah. Okay. They've given up 80.
So they missed it by 3.
They've given up 80 in the last 2.
Right. Okay, so then split the difference. So the Patriots team is giving up 40 tonight because they did it last year?
No, I mean, it's possible. Yeah, it's possible. Like
I think they're better than that. This defense is better than that. And,
do you think Josh Allen's better than Kirk Cousins?
I was going to say the way Josh Allen's playing right now, he isn't.
What? Yes, he is. No, he's still better than Kirk Cousins in the way he's playing right now.
But given what they need out of Josh Allen for the Bills to be able to win, they need him to be Superman. He hasn't been. They've still been able to win, but they've taken it on the chin a little bit.
I mean,
and by the way, Cousins did outplay Allen in that game, did he not? Whenever they won head to head, if we're going recency bias, then or at least factoring that in, then Cousins deserves a nod. And again, it's not what you were at the beginning of the year; it's how you're playing right now.
Right, and I would say Josh Allen is not at the MVP level right now, but he is still a very, very good quarterback.
No doubt. He's
still capable of a really big game. And I'm telling you, I think the way that they're weak. The last 2 weeks was kind of odd. Like they're going to play at home. Nope. Now we're playing in Detroit. Now we're going back home. Now we're going back to Detroit for the early game. And they won both of those games. It wasn't pretty, but they found ways to win both of those games. And I feel like that might be why, or one of the reasons why the line moved was like, oh, well, they barely beat Detroit. They didn't look very good against the Lions. I don't know. Like, that's sort of like the early game there. Like, I don't know. That's kind of an odd spot. They still got the win.
No, playing on Thanksgiving definitely throws a monkey wrench into the evaluation because you're reacting to what you saw in a short week.
And, like, Von Miller is a big loss. There's no doubt.
But I think Dawkins, the left tackle, is a massive loss for them.
And then flip side, though, Patriots are out. We'll see. At least Isaiah Wynn, although that could be a positive. But they have Andrews, we don't know yet if he's going to play. Trent Brown just popped up with a questionable with an illness.
Let's hope he can go. They definitely need him.
Oh, yeah,
they need Brown almost as much. Well, and again, it's chewing into the tackle depth unless they're, you know, good, unless they want to throw Connor McDermott out there, which I'm not so sure they do. Here's another thing too. For me, it's about that interior offensive line and trying to control Ed Oliver a little bit. And we had the numbers earlier. Then once Von Miller went out in that Detroit game, second half, they had to start blitzing to be able to get pressure. And that's where I'd like to think that even though this one of the things you and I agree on is this Patriots offense has been a roller coaster ride and up and down. Mm-hmm. But you'd like to think that at this point in the season, if the Bills are going to start bringing pressure, that the Patriots have the ability to be able to deal with the blitz or at least read it and get the ball out quickly.
Uh-huh.
See, I think a lot of tonight is not so much the names per se on the piece of paper. It's as much about the way each of these teams are playing coming into it. And there's got to be a pride factor on the Patriots defense.
Yeah,
there
I would
has
imagine.
To be.
I mean,
now, whether it puts them over the hump, I don't know.
Right.
But I'm not as, you know, how many years did we sit here on the other side of Buffalo would be like, well, they tried to New England proof themselves, you know, and eventually they did figure it out.
Yeah.
And the quarterback was a big part of it. I just don't know if a ton of last year, their offensive line in Buffalo last year was better than what they have this year. And I don't think it's even close.
Yeah, no, probably. And I think both teams, they had a chance even last week to be looking ahead to this game. Like, this game is massive for both because the Patriots, again, are just trying to scrape their way into the playoffs somehow, some way. The Bills still have a chance at the number one seed, despite them not playing well recently. They have the head-to-head tiebreaker with Kansas City. Right now, they're not the division leader. That's the Dolphins, who they also face coming up in another couple of weeks. So it couldn't be a bigger game for either team. You do have they both have the exact same schedule, right? Mm-hmm. They played on a Thursday. Now they're playing on another Thursday. So all of that part is equal. So yeah, we'll see. I mean, McDermott is a guy too, to me, that I didn't really like at first, but then they've won a bunch of games and like, he seems to, you know, have them, they seem to always be up for these big games. So Sean McDermott, I used to think was, this huge gap between Belichick and McDermott, but I'm like, I don't know, McDermott's probably pretty good.
I still think there's a decent gap there. That whole wind game, I mean, that
was embarrassing.
How do you not? Right.
But that was also on Daboll, too, who I love, because they didn't throw with Allen when they could have thrown with Allen.
Mm-hmm.
They aborted that completely, and I think they got caught up in it. But
I'm glad you brought up Josh Allen, because he was on of NFL Network, Kyle Brandt, his basement podcast.
Oh, nice.
And he asked Josh Allen about Bill Belichick and unveiled some stuff that at least I didn't know.
I've got so much admiration and respect for him and his Hall of Fame career, and like, his resume speaks for itself. It really does. You know, probably the greatest coach to ever coach this game. Last year after the divisional game, he actually, like, I had media to do after the game, so I'm always usually the last one to leave the locker room. He actually like came in and talked with me for a few minutes, which I thought was really, really admirable and cool for him to do. And I know he doesn't do that too often, so it makes you feel good. It makes you feel like you're doing something right. Yeah, I got a lot of respect for him.
Yeah,
I didn't realize Bill went in and sort of talked to him afterwards.
Bill is a historian of the game, and he's probably like, this guy's pretty damn good. This guy is pretty good, and it's also amazing. I don't know if a player, can you think of a player improving as much between a couple of years? I mean, I guess you go by, like, you know, the obvious example people use, like, Peyton Manning, his rookie year sucked and then got really good after that. But Josh Allen came into the league as like a project. And the first couple years, you're like, maybe this isn't going to work out.
Yeah, he was growing.
And then year 3, 4, now 5, you're like, oh, crap. Like, that is pretty remarkable to go from a guy. Because, like, Peyton Manning came in, the expectations were really high. He was on a really bad team.
Number one pick, you're good anyway,
threw
right?
A lot of
it's like
picks,
Trevor
whatever.
Lawrence.
Yeah, like, Josh Allen was a high pick, but it was really based almost entirely on, hopefully we can kind of mold them into being this. And usually that is a hard thing to do, and yet he's done it.
Well, normally it is guys that you'd really have to take a hard look at. Like, for example, we know Mahomes was pretty good right away.
Oh, he's great.
But where Mahomes is at now compared to where he was, there's a jump there. The problem
was the MVP his first year.
Well, that's the thing. The problem was the floor was so high.
Yeah.
But there are a lot of things now. Let's put it this way. They're letting guys go there, and they don't miss nothing on offense. You know? Like, they let Hill go.
Oh, Kansas City,
That, to me, is where, even though a guy came in and had those MVP-type numbers, you're now making organizational decisions because the guy is so good that you still trust you're going to be okay.
But
that's a different kind of level of growth, whereas – if you think of, like, I can't think of a first, like, the Josh Allen story feels pretty unique unto itself because they gave him time.
Well, yeah, they did. And so his first year in the league, he started 11 games, went 5-6 as the starter, 10 touchdowns, 12 picks, and his completion percentage was under 53%.
Yep.
And then the next year, big jump in the touchdown interception, but still was completing under 60% of his passes. And then in 2020, he gets Steph Diggs. He has he's completes 69% of his passes, 37 touchdowns, 10 picks, and is runner-up in the MVP. So he was the guy after his second year where you're like, should the Bills draft another quarterback? And then wins the MVP, or doesn't win it, but comes in second in the MVP. Like, that's an insane improvement.
When did Daboll get there? Was it after year one with Allen? Daboll was 18-21.
Oh, so 18 was Allen's rookie year.
Oh, okay. So he did have him from the very beginning.
Yeah.
So there was the guy there to kind of nurture.
But Diggs didn't get there till 20.
Well, but I also wonder if Daboll didn't get there until year two. That's basically what I was asking. And then
able
to kind of sink his teeth into it a little bit.
Yeah.
Well, the one thing I do appreciate that Buffalo kind of did do is, like you mentioned, he didn't start right away. They made him earn it a little bit. Whereas I do think for some of these guys, and Zach Wilson and the Jets clearly fell into the trap. No, he's the number two pick. We got to put him in the lineup. And it's like, well, wait a minute. Your eyes do have to tell you something. And again, like with the Jets, you could have found somebody that was better than Wilson, but like with Jacksonville, you didn't have anybody there who was screaming, "Boy, you got to play this guy and make Lawrence wait a little bit." So there are sliding scales of those. But you're right; we'd probably have to look at defensive players.
Yeah, probably.
In terms of guys who've grown.
To be like, holy crap, they were really, like, borderline going to lose your job into one of the three best in the league.
There are not many stories like that. And again, Buffalo deserves credit for letting that guy grow.
Yeah.
So again, it's 8:15 tonight down in Foxborough. Wind should be up a little bit. We'll see if it sort of calms down by game time. That's about the only thing, other than it being just balls cold.
Mm-hmm.
If you're going to the game, bundle up, apparently.
Yes.
Unless you can get in the club and then just stand by the bar and drink all night.
You know, it's also a good way to
do
it.
I don't know anybody like that. I know one person like that. Yeah, right, exactly. The perfect lineup. Keith's got a great one for you. That is next.
WEEI. New England Sports Original. Gresh, Keith. It's Gresh and Keith on WEEI.
Keith's gonna give you what you need to know. Talk about who you gotta start, who you gotta say, gotta let go. When you be like, whoop, whoop, you doing so good, gonna win your league. But you gotta listen to Rich Keefe in the fantasy breeze. Rich Keefe is playing like John Clayton up inside the huddle, and he's got a intimate knowledge of the fantasy game like he and Matthew Berry like to cuddle. If your team got a problem, yo, he'll solve it. Winston Wolfe for this fantasy gauntlet, so pretty pleased with sugar on it. Check out the hook while Keefe's gonna give you the info you desire. The claim from the waiver wire, so your lineup game is on fire. Put them on the board. Championship. You're definitely gonna win your league, but you gotta listen to Rich Keefe and the fantasy brief.
All right, here we go. You're gonna get your fantasy help. You need help with a perfect lineup. You play the daily fantasy. Keefe's got you.
Maybe the year-long league hasn't gone your way. I wouldn't know what that's like, but that's why daily fantasy is here. So here's your week 13 perfect lineup.
Here we
go.
For
this Sunday afternoon's games. Quarterback run out of the chute, Mike White. I'm going with Mike effing White.
What?
I feel like he is going to have about a 2-3 week shelf life where he's going to be good. He was good last week. Going up against a Minnesota defense that allowed 382 yards passing to Mac Jones, of all people. So Mike White in the lineup for me, obviously pretty cheap.
I was just going to say, was that tremendous value?
Great value.
Yeah.
Which leads me to grabbing one of the top running backs on the
board.
Because
I'm all about value.
That's my middle name, value. Nick Chubb, Nick Chubb going up against a Houston Texans defense, which has given up more points to fantasy running backs than anybody else in the league. And even with Deshaun Watson coming back, his first game against his former team,
yep,
I still think Chubb's going to have the monster game. Watson might throw a touchdown, maybe even two, but I feel like this is an easy 120 yards on the ground, maybe two touchdowns for Nick Chubb, so you got to get him in your lineup.
The best bet of the weekend is Cleveland over Houston.
Yeah, you think
they're going to put a number on them.
Gonna,
oh,
go,
yeah.
Go to work on
They'll
them.
Pile on, I think, too.
I think they definitely could. Game in Houston as well, but yep. I love Chubb in this game. I'm going to go with Jaylen Warren from Pittsburgh. Najee Harris got hurt in the last game that we watched on Monday night, that slog against the Colts. And then Jaylen Warren didn't play in that game, but Schefter had the report yesterday that it looks like he's going to be cleared and ready to go, which would put him above Benny Snell on the depth chart. They are playing the Atlanta Falcons, also not good against the run, so give me Jaylen Warren, and he's pretty cheap. All right, Ja'Marr Chase might be back against the Chiefs. I'm not going to go with Chase. I'm going to go with T. Higgins. He's cheaper than Chase. Surprisingly, the Kansas City Chiefs have given up the most wide receiver points. So I'm going with a lot of matchups here, but give me T. Higgins as my wide receiver one.
You've never mentioned T. Higgins before.
I think he's in every one of these, isn't he? Like, it just... He seems to have good matchups, and like he doesn't cost a ton.
No, well, that's the thing. He doesn't cost a ton.
You got to like scroll past the Devontae Adams and the Tyreek Hills because they cost so much money every week. So T. Higgins is usually in that sweet spot. Another guy pretty cheap, and I think he's coming on strong. George Pickens, the rookie wide receiver from the Pittsburgh Steelers. They are once again playing the Atlanta Falcons. Another good matchup there. I'm going to go with a couple of stacks with my Mike White pick.
Oh.
So again, it's very Mike White dependent.
Oh, I know where you're going with this.
I got two in a row here. Wide receiver Garrett Wilson, the rookie wide receiver. He's good value there. And tight end Tyler Conklin. Hunter Henry should have had two touchdowns against Minnesota. He only got technically the one, but he really should have had the two.
Got a job, yep.
So give me Tyler Conklin as my tight end. Again, really cheap. So unless
that
you're going
I
Kelsey.
I thought you were going to go Elijah Moore.
Ooh, not a bad one. I like Wilson more. I think Wilson has a better... Moore's a good boom or bust candidate. Moore could be
like in the slot, he
nothing.
Could get four catches for $140 and two scores.
Definitely. And had a lot of money left over in the flex spot, so give me Jaylen Waddle, who is having himself a Pro Bowl season, doing really well. Dolphins 49ers, by the way, should be a pretty good one. Mike McDaniel and Kyle Shanahan.
Oh, tomorrow when we break down the
there's
games.
There's a lot of good games.
Half of the games are just trash, and the other half are playoff worthy.
I guess that makes sense, right? If half the teams are playing good teams, they're playing each other. All the dumps are playing each other. And then the defense, usually you just kind of try to find that worst offense. So right now the worst offense has to be the LA Rams. They are completely inept. They were inept when they had all their guys, and now they don't have any of their guys. And they are facing the Seattle Seahawks, who need a win this weekend. So give me the Seahawks as my defense against whatever it is the Rams can trot out there on Sunday.
Yeah, it's hard to figure out the Rams. Other than offensively, they just can't score this year.
I mean, it's pretty remarkable. Like, what were the odds that the Rams and Packers... Maybe Bucks, although they'll probably squeak in because the division is bad.
Mm-hmm.
But those are the three gimmies in the NFC. And it's not that one of them has been bad. That can happen, right? The NFL is hard,
sure.
It's hard to predict. But the fact that all three have a losing record going into week 13, that is insane to me.
You know what the number was for the Rams at the beginning of the year?
Oh, for wins?
Yeah.
11?
Or the over-under?
11?
10.5.
10.5, yeah.
Wow.
What are they going to get?
Crashing
five?
Down to earth. Oh, my God.
Yeah, that's amazing to me, like that they won the Super Bowl and then just came back and were a mess. Now, Aaron Donald's not playing, by the way.
He's out.
Sunday.
Well, that's also, let's be smart.
Yeah,
he's a Hall of Famer. Let's not risk him.
But it's also like, you know, if your team stinks when they're supposed to be good, you're like, well, at least we get the a high draft pick. No, not the Rams. They don't get the high draft pick. Now, again, I don't think they would trade it back. They got the Super Bowl last year. That's what counts. But I would have thought they would have had like a 3-year window where they would have been, you know, Aaron Donald, Jalen Ramsey, Cooper Kupp, Matt Stafford. I think you're probably good for 3 years. Nope, one.
And it might come crashing down on them.
Like, do they bounce back next year? Like, I don't know.
Rough.
It's tough to say.
Because how are they going to rebuild the roster? They have, I think their first draft pick's like a fourth rounder or something like
probably.
That. Or maybe, they might have a second, I think.
Yeah,
but they don't. They just have to go buy in free agency, or the high end guys all come back and just be great again.
Yeah, that's, I mean, that's what they need. But Stafford was terrible. I guess he was playing hurt for a little while, and now they're just kind of maybe shutting him down.
And at this point, yeah, shut those guys down.
They probably for sure should shut him down.
Like, if you don't have the first-round pick at this point, what does it matter?
But they don't even look like a real NFL team anymore. I mean, that offense last week with Bryce Perkins, just abysmal.
When do you think McVay bails out of there?
As long as Donald and Stafford are there, he's there. As soon as one or both of those guys gone, I bet he leaves.
Is there a chance Les Snead's like, "Dep, I'm out of here. We won. See you later."
Maybe.
He can go right to TV and be pretty good.
And that is clearly a fan base that is only there if you're good. They are only interested if you're really, really good.
Did you know that there was some kind of thing about the selling of the tickets and stuff like that? It's like instead of selling
game,
them, donate them so that other Ram fans can go so that we don't look silly.
Neither
what a weird market, right?
That was awful.
And they got stars and they won a championship.
They
you figure people would show up. But yeah, how odd. It's so anti-Northeast.
Crazy.
We're there to yell at people.
That's right. Get mad.
There, it's like, oh, let's go to the beach.
Mm-hmm.
Which actually probably wouldn't be a bad option the way it is outside today. The Bills 4-pack. You know you've been waiting for it. Keith and I will get into that next.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.